listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life. Excuse me. Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 18th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter, and we can cut that out in editing.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here, but also happy Lunar New Year. We're in the year of the horse. It's a good one.
Well, thank you for saying it's always interesting. I got to go back to that astro calendar, but I always want to say thank you to those that take the time to join us live in our live chat. We look forward to seeing you every week, and we really appreciate your contributions. We also want to throw a shout out to those that take the time to catch up with us from our archives. And we do get your feedback. We do appreciate your well wishes, and we always appreciate your ideas as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other education programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we are going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, looking forward to our topic, we're going to be talking about tarot, a little backstory, but also just kind of how to do tarot. This is definitely not my field, as you can tell by me talking right now. So,
yeah, we're going to expand it. You know, we've talked about this subject in the past, but we're going to kind of take a different slant on it tonight. But before we do, I'd like to remind everybody, 2026 adds up and reduces to a 1. So the only true numbers are 1 to 9. So 1 year is innovative, it's creative, it likes energy to move. But now that we've actually shifted into the year of the horse, I'm going to tell you briefly what the year of the horse means. Energy, freedom, confidence, and forward momentum. And you'll love this. Taking bold steps and embracing change, travel, movement, and new opportunities. So when you combine the year of the horse with the numerics of 1, it's a really good year. And I think we can all see changes happening kind of everywhere. And if you recall, I think it was the beginning of 2025, I said, yeah, it's going to be a hard year, but 2026 is a correction year. And that's what I predicted, and I believe we're starting to see some of that. So I just wanted to remind everybody to stay hopeful and positive. It doesn't mean you don't face the challenges of today. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a good year for changes. Mm-hmm. Very often we have to go through the tunnel first. But that's what correction years are. Well, so hang in there, everybody.
Isn't that the truth? I'm definitely feeling that, seeing that. You were right on the money there.
Well, I'm not always right. But
well, who amongst us?
So as we talk about tarot, let's back up to talk about the origins of a regular deck of playing cards. Now, it's kind of a mixed bag here because nobody really knows. It's just bits and pieces that you kind of put together and people speculate. But it starts, they originated apparently in the 9th century Tang Dynasty from China. And they were basically used kind of like dominoes. You know, it was a leaf game. And then they arrived in Europe during the 14th century. So those 1300s, the Europeans adapted them and started modifying them. And, you know, they made their changes, to them. Now, the major arcana, on the other hand, I believe you and I were talking before the program, Michael, kind of Northern Italy, you know, it's a European thing that, you know, they usually used it in artwork for the, you know, the kings and queens and court people and, you know. So now that being said, that's really important because my late teacher Magda would say that the tarot was a merging of two tribes or two languages. But she saw the major arcana as letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which may or may not be true. She was taught by the gypsies, the European gypsies, and that's where they believed. So again, we don't really know, but I'm going to go with this theory where these two languages kind of went together. But she said the pages, you know, because you get 52 playing cards, 52 playing cards. You got 22 major arcana. So for each of the suits, they added in a page. So there's four pages making up the 78 cards. So if you look at the origin of the tarot, again, we go to Europe, Northern Italy. And, you know, it was kind of played as a game. It wasn't used for divination at all until the late 18th century. So let's go to the late 1700s. And that's when it started being used for fortune telling. But I want to throw in here, too, that when it comes to the major arcana, there's a lot of religious stuff to it. With the church and, you know, the Christianized symbology in there, which is actually quite surprising, I think, because of the, how we use it now. But you think, oh, that goes back to the church.
Yeah. And you know, the church morphed and melded and changed throughout the 2,000 years that we're talking about, too, especially leading up to the Renaissance and how it was a very, to our modernized, very religiously conservative era, but there was a lot of new, you know, interesting ideas breaking out amongst especially the aristocracy, the nobility, the wealthy. You know, they had the protection from, you know, some of the persecution the poor might not have against some of these things, so they kind of had the liberties to do this. But I will say, in just doing a little reading on tarot and, you know, the links that go back to it, you had mentioned China, I saw that too, and, you know, the playing cards that came over to the West, just like we were talking about before. I love how it kind of takes it back to the other ancient, you know, I was reading into the tradition of fortune-telling as well, and, you know, it goes into prehistory. You know, it predates written language, so it's very difficult to really know, but it's a fascinating thing that it's kind of always been with us. And I will also say that the art is really truly beautiful on a lot of these cards, especially some of the historic ones that have been preserved. Just really beautiful artwork.
You know, I got to say, too, there are some people who believed that the major arcana came from Egypt. So again, it's whatever somebody believes, because we don't have any accurate history. So in my world, you know, it's kind of, it makes sense. 22 cards, the Hebrew alphabet, but we don't know, you think of that 78 cards, 52 of which are regular deck of playing cards. Now, many of the old readers would only ever use playing cards. And that's what my great-grandmother did. She only read mostly teacups, but regular playing cards. So I'm going to get into how that works in a minute. But I also want to insert just a few other little things about cards, and particularly whatever you see in these modern decks, that didn't become popular, people taking on their own slant, until the early 1900s. And specifically, it was Pamela Coleman Smith who was hired to do the artwork for the Rider-Waite. It was the Rider-Waite Smith deck at the time. Now, nothing really happened with them at the time, and bless her heart, she died penniless. She made no money off of this thing, and, whatever. But hers and her artwork is the most famous coming out of the Rider-Waite deck, which is the one that I use. I mean, I've looked at a few other decks, and sure, who really made it jump forward was Aleister Crowley. No, very dark.
Mm, yeah, well, to be sure.
it's a very dark deck. But there's so many, and every year somebody's trying to come out with, their new take on tarot, their new artwork. And I don't begrudge people that. But, what's what? Well, you have to, if you are going to get yourself tarot cards, and I'll talk about that in a second, then it's got to be something that resonates with you, wherever you come from and what makes sense to you. Magda would say, in the old days, again, because she was, had that big European influence of the only true readers were ones who were gifted cards and had an apprenticeship. Now, of course, nobody does that anymore. She would say in her world that it's people wanting power when they go out and get their own. And maybe that's true. But now I think things have changed, because we don't have apprenticeships. We don't have, we have this fast-paced world, and everybody, the New Age movement, of course, really spawned a whole new era of, the occult and divination. So, a curiosity and expanding minds is perfectly natural and normal. So that old stuff no longer really holds true. We can pass on. People like me can pass on what we know. I had a client the other day, Michael, who has a very, her aunt is older and very sick at the moment. And I said, I don't predict death anymore. I said, when I was young, starting out, there were no heart transplants. There were no kidney transplants. There were no big blood transfusions that were to speak of. And she goes, oh, really? No, the air was clear. There wasn't like the day of death and birth and such, and the old Vikings would say, is marked. And you could cure certain ailments, and antibiotics were around in my time. But, if people got cancer, they were doomed. You had a heart attack, you're pretty much doomed. And so it was easier to see, but now we have medicine and science and all kinds of things that it's just different. There's no marked time of death. And so that I guess it surprised me that it surprised her. That, oh, really? Like when I graduated high school, women could not get a credit card. So, you know, it's a different era, a different time period. And we do, I think, take for granted all the, you know, privileges that we have now. So, you know, I just had to throw that in there that over time, people have taken on their own thing. So there's no right way. There's no wrong way. It's your way, but we hope that it's with responsibility. And I mean that when you're having compassion and understanding with people and not fear mongering. There are ways to tell people what you see, but not everything needs to be told. And I say that not in a way that I'm withholding. I just think some things have no purpose to be told. That makes sense, Michael? It's because it scares the crap out of people.
Some things shouldn't be known, right? I think is the bottom line. I think that, I truly believe that the only way that we can exist on this temporal plane where, you know, we have linear time, where we have linear existences, I'm basing this on a lot of sci-fi TV, but if we knew our futures, we're going to change our behavior. If we change our behavior, what might need to happen changes. Of course, then who defines what might need to happen? Oh, this is a rabbit hole we can go down, I'm telling you.
Mm.
But,
yeah,
it's one of those things, especially, you know, is it going to help anything? Is there anything you can do about it? I think a lot of times if there is something that's kind of impending that you're, I mean, maybe not, we don't want to talk about, you know, death per se, but, you know, if there's challenges down the road, maybe psychologically and spiritually, we can kind of, you know, prepare ourselves, you know, strengthen our resolve, things like that. So I can see how that would be useful. But
well, and the other thing is watch your own biases,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we all have our own biases in life. And not to project our biases. So, excuse me, that's what I mean by responsibility.
A little cough break there.
I had to cough. Hang on.
Oh, okay. Take your time. So, you know.
I have a sinus drip.
Oh, that's been going around from Florida to Canada, apparently.
I know. Yeah.
But, you know, I was going to say one thing that is really interesting. We were talking about the history of, it's my thing, I'm going to go back to that since I have the floor for a minute. The history of the traditions, the cards, everything going from China, I imagine went past through India. And I was reading up on the history of chess, and I think it's kind of a similar trend going from east to west, especially getting picked up during the Crusades. You're talking about that religious aspect.
Yeah.
It's incredible how much information got exchanged through the Crusades. You know, it was a bloody few centuries, but there was such a, that's why we use Arabic numerals. That's why we, so much of our baseline science and so much of our, even I would think things like tarot, obviously, but some more of the, I'm searching for the right word. I want to say not mysticism, but you know, that kind of spirituality, that kind of connection. A lot of it kind of influenced European thinkers, and the tarot movements is one of those during this kind of cultural exchange that happened during a very violent period in human history as well, in the Eurasian continent anyway.
No, I totally agree. There's so many interesting things about our history that we know nothing about,
mm-hmm.
but we can glean little bits here and there.
Yeah.
So if there's many types of layouts, everybody, every reader's going to think that theirs is the right way. It's whatever way, you know, you can do your research. It's whatever way you prefer. I have my formula. I use the cross and bow, but I add two extra cards to the outcome to make it 12 instead of 10. And the second part of what I do, I lay the rest of the cards out and I start selecting. But again, I have my own formula. So you have to have your formula of what's comfortable and what means what in what position. And again, try to be as consistent as possible. because that helps you. Cards are the conduit to what I think is like a higher consciousness, to your super consciousness, maybe out in the grid, in the timelines. Do I completely understand it? Absolutely not. But that I very often get glimpses likened to a movie in scenarios. So I don't know, that time-space thing, Michael. You know, it's a when you're tapping into somebody else's psyche, I don't know how much is written in an absolute way, because I think the whole point of a reading is to give you a heads up that you're at the steering wheel, you know?
Right.
You decide what you want to do with that information and change the course. Some things are just going to happen. But, you know, my I'll throw this in there. I make it a point not to intervene in anything with my family unless I see a Mack truck coming. But at the same time, unless somebody asks me, it's none of my business. But my granddaughter had a car accident. She's fine. But found out that there was trouble through the blood work and stuff, found out she's having kidney problems. And, of course, too many energy drinks, you know, and stuff. So got to have a big change. So when I saw her, I said, so the universe decided to give you a cosmic 2x4 to save your life. What do you mean? I said, well, that's what kind of happens when we don't listen. Because something really good came about this. And, of course, she's 18. She said, yeah, but they schmucked my car. I said, yeah, but that's what it took. You know, and sometimes there is a silver lining to things happening. Like, maybe that was supposed to happen. Or maybe something like that, where she had to be, you know, get her blood work and stuff checked. I don't know. And again, you know, can we absolutely say this and that, because there's so much chaos in the world? When I hear that, well, it's meant to be, or, you know, the universe did this or that, I question that, because the world is chaotic. So I want to make that really clear, you know, when you're doing readings. Michael, you know, we all want to get to Walmart. I say that time and again, but it's how you get there. Sometimes the car drives itself. I always listen to the voice when it says, okay, you can go now. I know that sounds wonky, but, you know, I'm all planned, ready to go out the door to go shopping, and no. Oh, I find myself making some more coffee, you know, putzing around. Well, why can't I just go to Walmart? And then suddenly it's, I've got my shoes on, my coat, and I'm going out the door. I said, well, okay, I'm listening. And it's if you can kind of tap into that super conscious, you know, and but again, does that work for everybody? Because stuff happens in the world.
It does. It does tend to.
You know, we do live in a very busy, chaotic world. So, again, the way readings were when I first started and the way they are now is very different. It's like there are various timelines, and that was the point I was getting to. Back in the early 2000s, I talked to a couple of other readers I really love and respect, and I say, are readings changing for you? Because I'm not getting anything clear. It's like there's variables. And they were all experiencing the same thing. So by 2005, you know, 2007, we felt and saw big shakeups in the universe. Like timelines are totally shifted. So I see variables. So when I read, it's okay if you go this way, that'll happen. But if you do that, this'll happen. And it's kind of, there are different pathways, even though we all want to get to the same destination, you know. So I really want to caution people when it comes to doing readings. I mean, I've been doing it for almost 55 years now. So, you know, I've covered a lot of ground and seen a lot of trends and a lot of stuff in my life. So it's just, again, the responsibility that goes with it. Magda would say to me, anybody can read cards. Very few people can sit with people. And I mean in a way that you don't let your biases through, that you accept people, don't have any prejudices. And that was a big thing with her. And I was very young, and I was really so fortunate where she said, don't be prejudiced in a reading. Don't be prejudiced about culture, race, age. And those words have rung so true for me in my life. I have a client that, you know, I do video readings with her every month. And I never know when something's different in her life. It's a completely different energy. I mean, it's she, but I don't go in thinking I know her. So I got to tune in to see where she's at today. Like Magda said, you could read for somebody today because they now have more information. They could come back tomorrow and it's going to be a completely different energy. So please remember that.
That has got to be one of the toughest parts about it. Like,
yeah.
Everything that we see is framed by, you know, our past experiences, and that we're all programmed, designed, we came about to look for those patterns and look, you know, use the past to kind of predict the future, right? And that's kind of that's, I think, how all humans come to a sort of bias. And to not inject that has got to be such a tough thing considering human nature. That's got to be one of the toughest aspects, but also
it
thinking,
is.
Yeah. And the ability to connect with people, you know, I have often wondered when it comes to, you know, like divination and intuition, it's interesting to think about, you know, you talked about it earlier, you know, plugging into the global consciousness. You know, a lot of people, we've talked about the Akashic Record. And it's also interesting, an idea, and I this came to me from a show on, but it was the idea that it's a lot of these things might come from not existing in linear time, by which I mean it might not progress in the same linear fashion. You might jump around a little bit, hence you jump to a point, you see something, and you jump back, and you can kind of relate what happened. And the future is always in flux, but of course then we get into these crazy things like the Andromeda paradox of time, which we've gotten into before, which is basically, you know, speed and relativity means that it's hard to say if there's a constant time. Like, the universe doesn't share a constant flow of time because everything is relative to one another and time moves relatively. So it's all very interesting stuff. So it's
well, I'm glad you actually, topic. I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. Sometimes when I'm just tuning into a reading, I'll say, you know, this is kind of what I'm seeing. Does that make sense to you? Not because I need confirmation. I'm looking at the time dial. They say, oh, well, that just happened. I said, okay, let me move the time dial forward because I'm picking up on something that's already happened, because that sense of time, you know, of past to future is, you know, what are we tuning into? So I have to make sure, you know, and here's the other thing. Sometimes I'll say stuff and people don't relate to it at all. And I say, well, I believe these are things that are coming, and we don't often have a frame for referencing it. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I kind of usually get it. But, you know, I've had people say they bring out their notes from 2 years ago. And, you know, some of that took a while to happen, but it actually happened. I can't always know exactly when it'll happen. Sometimes a month will drop out of, you know, the sky, or something will come forward, but I can't always know. So time and space, man, that's such a mystery. It really is a mystery even to me. So I want to remind people, this is a tool. That's all it is. I have made the error in the past of looking at palms because I can read palms. I know how to read teacups. I know how to read cloth. I know how to, do a lot of things. But when I have added those things in for clients, every client thereafter wants the full meal deal. And they think they haven't had a full reading unless they look at their palms. Now, can't we do a teacup? And what's the problem?
Yeah.
And that's why I limit what I do to, one kind of source. But again, I want to remind you guys, I've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. So I've had these eras in my life of experimenting. Kevin is saying, do I need cards? Or can I independently make predictions? That's why somebody gave me cards in the first place, Kevin, because I was weird. I don't need cards. I don't need anything. But here's the problem. If you're going to be a reader and do readings for people, there's an expectation. I had taken a year off. It was around 2008. Because I needed my own mental, emotional health break. And when I started back, I thought I'd like to go back to what I did, prior, which is no cards or anything at all. I just sit with people and do a reading. Well, in short order, people were calling me up and asking me if I could recommend a tarot card reader, seeing as I wasn't doing them anymore. So I give up, so it's, you gotta just feel, it comes with experience. That's all. It just comes with, practice and experience. So, all of the tarot, I'm gonna move on here, cause I know we got names in the chat to draw some cards, but, the tarot is very numeric, minus the symbols on them. It's very numeric. All of the major arcana have zero, which is the fool that starts. It has another 21 cards. So there are 22 major arcana. As you know, each of the minor arcana, they're all numbers. And then they're put into categories. And so when you're reading, if you ever get stuck, just kind of think of numerology if you can. That's why studying numerology is a really good idea. Or at least, and help me a deep, deep dive study, but just, kind of getting a handle on what numbers tell a story, 1 to 9. And we're not getting into the Cabalarian stuff of 11, 12, 22, 33 kind of thing. I keep it really simple, reduce it to 1 is the beginning, 2 is the follow through and the worker, 3 likes to be happy, to be honest, and doesn't like loose ends. 4 likes stability, but, it's a little restless as long as it's secure. 5 really likes adventure. Remember, that's the middle of the 1 to 9. It likes to break free. 6 likes service, community, it's loyalty, and so on. 7 is a fundamental number. We all live 7th. It's nothing mysterious about 7. 7 reveals details. 8 is educational. A lot of people think 8's, money and power. Well, you can't have that without education. So it's a very educational number. 9 is the completion. I think, a lot of people can think of it as enlightenment, but it's really you've gone through the whole cycle of 1 to 9. And, the page I always see is the messenger, the jack or the knight. Now, it can be male or female. Remember, there's no princesses for queens. but there's this knight for the king. So I always see that as male or female. And the queen and the king are people or energies. And, you know, you have, of course, the ace. So it's basically what position you put it in that makes sense to you as the reader, the past, you know, what's going on in the present, what's the likely course of action, what's the likely outcome, and I say likely strongly. It's like this is where the energy is going. And, you know, if you and I like to look at people's fears and their hopes and, you know, and such, and the energy on their way. Now, very often in these books, the cross and the bow, so if you look at the bow, it's four cards up. At the bottom is supposed to be hopes. I never understood that. It makes no sense to me. To me, that's fear. Fear is the root of all things. So fear and the hope is the third one up. So that's a reversal from what you're going to read in the books, or most of them. And where do people get their information from books? They get them from other books. So remember that. When I first read for Magda, it was a command performance. I know I've told the story before. I won't get into the whole thing. But I had my little book, the tarot, and she, very French Italian woman, like 5 feet tall, dark hair, the typical gypsy, I tell you. This strong accent, and said, "Put that book away. I want to know what you see. What does it mean to you?" Well, I didn't know anything about her life at the time, and the first thing that I saw was boxes and packing up boxes. I see, it's like wanting to move and boxes. She goes, "That's right." I said, "But you're not going." "Oh, you're not very good. Get out of my office." She threw me out. You know, I'm young. I'm devastated. Oh, my God. She phoned me 2 weeks later, and she said, "You're right. You come read for me again." Because she wasn't moving. She was going to Italy. This is funny, you know, because people are people. She was going to Italy to be with her lover. But the wife found out. And so that wasn't going to happen. I still laugh about that. You know, that's...
Isn't that always what happens when you go to Italy with your lover? I tell you, that's what happens to me.
But. So again, that's it means what it means to you. And just trust your instincts. Trust the pictures that come in your mind, the feelings. It's always the feeling you get. And you don't have to read all the details in a card. It might be one small thing that triggers your intuition or your superconscious to tell a story. You know, and I know a lot of readers do vague, really vague kinds of readings, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all going to be spiritual in the name of the New Age movement. But remember that people need fundamental things to work on too. You know, but you can ease into making people feel comfortable with you. And do not be judgmental. Please don't be judgmental. If people are making those decisions for themselves, that's none of your business. You're not there to fix anybody. You're just there to be a support and a guide and give probabilities. So that's my speech, Michael.
It's a good one. It's a good cap to our discussion.
Okay, well, so let's start pulling cards. Now, what we do, mm-hmm. Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards by Dr. Douglas Kelly, you know, based on the various teachings of the school and the church, and then I pull a support tarot card. And again, I'll try to explain, you know, how I sense things as we pull them. So I think we have Dawn and Amy first. They're together. That's what I have at the very beginning, Michael. Is that correct?
Yep, I believe that's what I have as well.
All right.
Yep. So I have, going back to my list here, I have number six pulled for Dawn, boundaries. Number six, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, now this is really interesting because boundaries is usually something, you know, you think of it as restrictive, something that's confining or, you know, limiting. But I just pulled the lovers. Now, lovers is not literal in that sense. It's about passion, energy, and what comes to mind when you think about fundamentally to life. The first thing that comes to mind on is boundaries and your passion. Very often when we have this dream to go after and we're working toward it, people say, yeah, yeah, but what's in it for me? So don't let people hold you back. Don't let people discourage you, whatever your energy is and your passion. So your boundaries are not to let people hold you back, and understand that people get scared when others change. That's just a thing. You know, basically, it's a human condition programmed where we really want to be loving and supportive, but I really don't want you to change because then it's unfamiliar and you might leave me. I hope that makes sense to you in some way. It's just go for your dreams. Keep going. Now, Amy is with her, so what do you got for Amy, Michael?
Amy, I have number 40 for you, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who and what they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. And remember, this card can refer to a healthy or a toxic relationship or the relationship of something to something else.
Well, now here's the second major arcana tonight, and it's Empress. Now, Empress is symbolic of things that grow, things that fertility kind of thing. Again, not literal, metaphoric, and that where things grow. So you got relationships here, and sometimes there's a lot of changes or negotiating or, you know, learning that goes on while you're growing together. So I would say at this point, Amy, you're learning how to coexist with others. And this may be with your partner. It may be just with family or friends, but you're learning to coexist. And, but it is a growth time. So it's a big learning time. And I see that as a real, positive. So now, I kind of did start to lose track while I was talking in the chat, Michael, but I have Donna next. Is that right?
Yep, that's who I have as well. So, Donna, for you tonight, let's see. I have number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or until you have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, now with the 10, you got a 10 of clubs here. Clubs are always about kind of, think of it in a word, changes, I suppose. The 10 being one past the 9. I see it kind of as a one again, in a way, like starting again, if I think of it. It's just that, so the realizations of a 9, and then moving forward. So in this 10 of clubs, you're getting to your destination. So you've got groundedness with the 10 of clubs. Things might feel challenging. They might feel heavy at times, like you're carrying the weight of the world. And we've all felt that way, Donna, at times. But staying grounded and, you know, staying on track, you're getting there. And sometimes it's one day at a time, one inch at a time, but you're getting there. And that's the thing. Make sure that you keep your eye on the goal. And it doesn't matter how long it takes to get there, just that you are moving forward. So this is that encouragement kind of a moment that it's not for nothing. So, good.
Very nice.
Now we have Jeff. Now, I got to say this. Jeff and Shauna are out winter camping by Duluth, Minnesota.
Ooh.
in a snowstorm, eating Pringles with a fireplace.
Well, that just sounds magical, if you ask me.
Truly.
Especially if they're cheddar or the pizza flavored.
I don't know.
I digress. But for you tonight, Dr. Jeff, I have for you number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Oh, this is exciting. You got the Nine of Cups. I love that. That is simply in a word, that's abundance, replenishment and abundance. I'm just going to say, Jeff, stay on track. It's like you're doing really well. And, you know, things are beginning to manifest and grow. So this is a moment of, I'm giving you absolute encouragement to keep going. And the tarot is, both these cards, deliberate intent and the Nine of Hearts. I love it. Now, we have Wendy's son, Andrew, because mm-hmm. it's his birthday. So happy birthday, Andrew. So what do we have?
All right, Andrew, happy birthday. And did I... Let me go back and reread that. I don't want to misspeak here. But I believe that, he is going to be getting married at the end of May as well and starting a new career. So 2026 is a year for change for him as well. Hopefully very positive change. Andrew, for you, I think this is very suiting. It's number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, I love this because the Jack of Clubs. Now, the Jack of Clubs does bring changes to his life. He's... in this case, with evolution, you're on the right track, Andrew. The storytelling comes to mind as it flows. You've got some other changes besides birthdays and getting married. You have some other changes in mind for the future. And according to what I sense and my feeling of this is go for it. You know, absolutely go for it. And again, you know, life, takes on new colors all the time. Can't always predict how we'll get there, except that you're getting there and you got a good plan. So it's exciting. Wendy, you should be very excited for Andrew. He's got some really cool things happening. Wendy said in the chat, he said, evolution is number 18 in mm-hmm. the suit, in the cards, and it's the 18th, so that's pretty cool.
He got his birthday day.
Yeah. I think we have Audra next.
We did an account. I asked Wendy if she wanted one for herself, so I threw in a card. I picked one at the end that I...
Who's this for now?
Wendy, because I asked her if she wanted one as well, and I figured I'd pair her with Andrew.
That's cool.
All right, so Wendy, for you, when you threw your name, and I picked number 4, past, present, future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. I pulled that one, and I had a feeling that might have been pulled for you recently, so let me know.
Yeah, it feels familiar.
It does. But.
So I got the 5 of Clubs here, and basically that's the celebration after the hard work. You know, and if you think about it, is looking for the adventure after all the toil and, let's say, challenges. And some books it might say, you know, the war is over and everybody comes home and has a party. kind of thing. I think you've got cause for celebrations in your life here, Wendy. And now what's next? So you might be doing some contemplation, you know, of, you know, what's next and how am I going to configure that? So it's a good one. I like it. So now we have Audra.
All right.
Wendy's saying she hasn't had that card. I think we just pulled it for
somebody else. Yeah, maybe that was it. But, it just had a familiar vibe. Audra, you get number 33, which, speaking of numbers, that one seems to come up as an important one a lot. So for you, number 33, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. It's a good card.
Well, it is, and so is this one. It's another major arcana tonight, the High Priestess. Now, she's intuitive. She's using her insights, kind of navigating the world based on what she senses. Not always trusting what she sees, but what she senses about what she sees. So preference over principle. I love that. It's one of my favorites, honestly, of Dr. Kelly's. It's, again, choosing, you know, when to stand up, when not to, but again, intuitive. You know, you have to be intuitive. In this case, when people are talking, are they talking from principle or preference? And you have to kind of intuitively gauge your way through their stuff. I'd use other words, but it's the program. We're live, so I won't. And I think you can figure that out, Audra. I mean, you've got a really good sense of people. But besides using your own preference principle, it's what are they using? And there's a lot of preference going on that has nothing to do with principle or, let's say, the rules. So you know what to do with that.
Well said.
Kevin.
All right, Kevin. For you, I have number 39. Number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, now this is the fourth card we pulled up as one of the clubs, the wands. Interesting tonight. This is the four of clubs, which has everything to do with commitment, promises. Some readers would say it's the only marriage card in the deck, but marriage is, you know, again, it can apply to many things. It doesn't have to be between two people. It can be a contract. So education, when it comes to how you're committing yourself, and what you're committing yourself to. So you may be asked to make a commitment, and I think you have to decide based on what's beneficial to you and what's beneficial to others, but also what's based on your education that you can feel comfortable, you know, to be able to deliver. So I think in this case, it's also about comfort and legitimacy. And if it's, you know, we can talk from personal experience, or you can talk from what we know is, you know, kind of your, you know, based on what you've learned and your credentials. So, I mean, I think it's good. I think there's something coming up for you, Kevin, an offer of some kind. So, I don't know. It feels kind of cool.
Very nice.
Now, I caught in here, and if I'm not mistaken, it was Danielle.
Mm-hmm. I believe Danelle and Gunner.
And Gunner.
Mm-hmm.
But then she added Naomi and another one if there's time.
Oh, Dean, I didn't see that one. Good catch. But, yeah, I can speed read through some stuff.
Yeah, she said if there's time, somebody else. But let's go for Danelle at the moment.
Okay. All right, Danelle, for you I have number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to do? What do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Okay, so it's another clubs. So I got the six of wands in this case, Danelle. Greatness to deliver and the six of clubs together is celebrate what you know and set other things aside. You know, we can be half good at things and that's okay, but really focus on what you're good at and what you have. And I really feel like this has more to do with the workplace than relationships, so to speak, how you're delivering yourself and your focus. And what comes to mind is it's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll find somebody who does. Or I'll look into that for you. And that six of clubs is very positive. It's kind of like the celebration, the coming home time, and kind of a realization of yourself. And, shine with all your goodness. That's what I want to say. So, Gunner. All right.
All right.
What do you got for Gunner?
Well, Gunner, for you tonight, I have number 45, inspiration and motivation.
Oh.
Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for your inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Well, holy cow, my favorite card in the whole deck, the Hanged Man.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I love this because it's awakening. It's a spiritual awakening, an awakening to the self. The thing about the Hanged Man, very often, not very often, nearly always, we have to give up an old way of thinking to be able to do something new or to see it in a new way. It's kind of giving up a cognitive dissonance. You know, it's, I really want to do that, but what do I have to give up? Well, the giving up is pretty easy when the benefits are so rewarding. So that inspiration, motivation is moving forward and also being willing to surrender some things. And maybe that's, an old belief system or an old way of doing things, an old way of communicating. You know, it's a learning curve, but it's one that's enlightening. I mean, it's really cool. Well, good for you, Gunner. I'd say, and make sure you go with the flow so you don't get one of those cosmic 2x4s. They suck.
Yeah, they can leave a mark, I tell you what.
Yeah, listen to yourself. Listen to your higher self. Now, she did throw in, it's Dean, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for Dean? I think that's the last one of the evening. And boy, we've sure pushed the whole hour here.
We have. So, Dean, for you real quick, we have number seven, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
The Ace of Diamonds, Ace of Pentacles, that's really cool. In matters of work, finances, even something, I get the feeling something entrepreneurial, perhaps, Dean. It's you got to remain hopeful. Keep working toward that. Things are going to take a better turn for you soon. So if things that you're worried about, you're going to be just fine. matter of fact, better than fine. It's just taking that effort on your place and on your part and moving forward. You know, we can't just, none of us can just sit at home and wait, you know. I mean, I'm hoping for the lotto too, Michael, but it doesn't seem like I'm winning. So that means I have to go buy a ticket, you know. So it just requires you to put in some of that effort. But that Ace of Diamonds is, financial achievement, financial improvements. So, you know, that just be hopeful. Don't give up. You're going to do fine. Well, you know, said. Michael, it's been a really fast hour. Holy. I've really enjoyed it. I'm glad for everybody in the chat and all the comments. It's been a good night.
It has been. Just as we wrap up, it is the end of that hour. Just want to throw a shout out to, and if you'd already said this, I might have not been paying attention, but did we already congratulate Dr. Kevin on the 50th wedding anniversary?
No, I didn't see. Oh, now I'm seeing it in the chat. Congratulations.
Yes, that's very much awesome. So. That is wonderful. So thank you for sharing that with us, too. So congratulations on that. It has been a wonderful discussion in a fast hour. Hope somebody took something meaningful away. I know I did. I always love talking about the origins of things and especially your insights into being intuitive and the divination of them. But, any last thoughts as we kind of round out the hour?
Don't let anybody push you around out there, people. Remain true to yourself. You know, we're all going to encounter stuff, even if it's somebody driving and not using their signal light, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, don't let it rile you up. Stay calm, stay positive. We are in a year of correction.
Yeah.
Just entered the year of the horse. We're in a 1 year. Please remain optimistic.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us again. We look forward to seeing you next week. And as always, until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.